Part 1. A plentiful planet dotted with glistening round freshwater lakes sprinkled below towering oval plateaus was home to two forms of intelligent life, the moas and the plumes. The moas were scampering four-legged prey, and the plumes were swooping large-winged predators. The small but clever moas dug complex underground tunnels in the woodlands. The powerful plumes nested atop one of the flat plateaus. Similar in size and shape to chipmunks, the plant-eating moas had large floppy ears that helped them hear the movement of nearby plumes, times when they needed to scoot to a burrow. The much larger, hawk-like, purple-feathered, yellow-headed plumes had the excellent eyes and cutting claws of owls, features that made them fierce hunters. Skilled at storing food, such as seeds, roots, and nuts, in baskets made out of long, leather-like lake weeds, the nimble moths prepared well for winters, whereas the plumes dealt with stretches of cold by spending their days sky-stalking moths that strayed too far from places to hide. A source of pleasure shared by the moths and plumes was the beautiful night sky. Throughout all seasons, there was an array of sparkling stars to marvel at overhead. Even more spectacular, there was a captivating, multicolored, circular nebula named Sky Eye that had a glimmering orange aura surrounding what appeared to be a green iris and a pink pupil. After spending far more than the usual time being cared for by her parents, a young plume, Snormy, was again told she had to grow up. "Today is the day your father and I intend on celebrating your successful first hunt, Snormy," said the youngster's hopeful mother. Though a bright youngster who had learned to talk and fly at a rapid pace, Snormy lacked the predator zeal usual for young plumes.
"I don't think I'm ready to hunt," she told her parents with a frown.
"That's what you've been saying for far too long," grumbled the father as he stepped forward. "Your jitters aren't going away because your mother and I have been softies. The softiness must stop," he made known.
The mother took the father's side.
"Your father is right, Snormy. The coddling has to stop. You need to muster some oomph. Plumes can't survive without oomph."
The father didn't hold back.
"Your mother and I don't want you to return home until your belly is full of maw," he stated before making a harsh demand.
The mother again agreed with the father.
"It's for your own good, Snormy. We're just being responsible parents. Just remember to stay away from thorn bushes," she cautioned.
"Staying away from thorn bushes is very important," noted the father.
never, absolutely never, try to capture a crafty maw who's wiggling about in a patch of those prickly bushes, he further emphasized.
I understand,
replied Snormy, before turning and flexing her 3-foot wingspan to prepare for flight, then pushing off with claws while flapping fast to gain height.
I'm worried about her,
said the mother as both parents watched their daughter glide over the edge of the Plumes Plateau. A 7-inch-long young maw by the name of Nug was also struggling to do as he was told. Like all maws, Nug spent much of his day busily gathering and storing food. He wasn't, however, showing the timidness usual for maws. In particular, despite many warnings by his patient parents, he didn't always pause often enough to scan overhead for hungry plumes. On a clear, warm day, while gathering root veggies, tree nuts, and thornbush berries on his own, Nug once again forgot for too long to look up, causing him not to see a lone plume circling above. The predator, with Nug in her sights, was a half-hearted Snormy. Wanting to be able to tell her parents she attempted to snatch a maw, she found the will to casually dip downward. While busy filling a basket with berries, Nug reminded himself that each time he left the network of maw tunnels, his life was at risk. Unfortunately, the warning wasn't followed by tipping head back and looking up while pivoting, a skill his parents had taught him.
He doesn't seem to see me,
Snormy nervously told herself. While not being seen should be good news for a plume, that wasn't the case for Snormy. Knowing she had an unfair advantage made her more anxious.
Just scaring that maw feels all wrong,
she thought, fretting too much to notice the maw below was in one of the thorn bushes she'd been told over and over to avoid. Nug, meanwhile, remained caught up in munching on and packing away berries. Wanting to tell her parents she'd made a sincere effort to do what they wanted, a jittery Snormy dove toward Nug. Her plan was to merely scare off the unsuspecting maw. After extending claws, she did something plumes never do. When about to pounce on prey, she squawked. Warned by the shriek, Nug looked up, saw the descending plume, and briefly froze. Then, after jerking sideways as Snormy pulled up, he dashed into an opening in the nearby ledge, where he watched in terror as the plume landed. Though relieved to see the maw bolt to safety, Snormy soon realized her tail had been snared in the netting of a thorn bush. Unable to flap, twist, or bite herself loose, she panicked. Help! She called out.
realizing he could easily be grabbed if the Ploon suddenly broke free, Nug decided trying to dart from the crevice in which he was hiding was too risky. Quietly creeping forward, he poked his head out long enough for Snormy and him to make eye contact.
"I don't want to harm you. I just want to be freed," said Snormy, feeling helpless.
"I can't trust a Ploon," thought Nug.
"If I help you, you'll eat me," he told her. "No, I'll thank you, then be on my way,"
promised Snormy.
"Why should I trust you?" asked Nug. "My answer is awfully odd," answered Snormy.
Nug was curious.
"I'm listening," he replied. "I'm an oddball Ploon who refuses to harm a maw, though letting you go will be seen by my flock as messing up in a big way. I'll be relieved," explained Snormy.
While encouraged by what he'd heard, Nug remained fearful.
"My name is Nug. You sound honest, but how can I be sure?" "My name is Snormy. I guess you can't be sure, but please believe that I don't have a speck of the hunting oomph Ploons are supposed to have. Never mind the fact that I wouldn't think much of myself if I broke my word,"
she sneered.
"Please don't turn out to be a trickster," pleaded Nug. "I'm not tricking you," promised Snormy.
Ever so slowly, Nug crept from the cranny in which he dashed. After crawling as far from Snormy's beak as possible, he slid near her tail, then gently pulled on the stem of the thorns, piercing her.
"Carefully stepping forward should give you the room you need to be on your way," noted Nug.
After doing as Nug suggested, Snormy burst free. But instead of continuing her ascent, she turned around and headed for the ledge above Nug. Nug's heart raced as he returned to the sanctuary he'd just left.
"You promised," he complained, feeling like a fool. "I'm not breaking my promise. I don't want to leave without thanking you for trusting and freeing me,"
assured Snormy. Again hearing honesty in Snormy's voice, Nug took a leap of trust.
"You said letting me go would cause the Ploons to accuse you of messing up, didn't you?"
"Yes," answered Snormy.
"Well, would you be interested in a meal you can't mess up?"
asked Nug, wanting to test Snormy's honesty.
"I'd like to go home with my belly full, so the answer is a big yes,"
replied Snormy.
"Nug, at your service. You're about to enjoy a belly-bulging assortment of tasty treats. Let's start with some of these delicious thornbush berries. Just stay where you are while I fling the yummies close enough for you to catch," said Nug as he selected a big juicy berry, did a backflip into an open patch of ground, then flung the fruit underhand Snormy's way. Beak-nabbing the treat mid-air left Snormy smiling.
It's very good. Please toss more?
She politely asked.
Sure. After flinging a few more berries, I'm going to toss you some scrumptious veggies and nuts. Everything is fresh this time of year. It's all going to make you healthier and stronger, said Nug,
before bouncing into a one-handed handstand from which he skillfully sent a berry toward Snormy's mouth. Before long, Snormy's belly was full.
I'm stuffed. Watching you bob about was very entertaining. Any chance we can meet here around dusk for another meal?
She asked.
As long as I'm not the meal,
joked Nug, wanting to be reassured. Snormy didn't laugh.
That's not funny.
She seemed very truthful,
thought Nug as he shrugged.
Well, I'll see you here later today,
he awkwardly replied, realizing he just made plans to share a meal with a plume, something no more had ever done. When Snormy returned home, her mother wasted no time looking for good news.
How full is your belly, Snormy?
She asked. Uneasy, misleading her mother, Snormy looked away when she answered.
Very full. One plump more was all I needed to find.
The mother straightened with pride, then cheerfully shook wings rapid enough to cause her body to shiver.
I knew you could do it. Your father is also going to flutter with happiness when we tell him. I bet you're looking forward to heading out for your next meal,
she assumed.
I'm planning to hunt later today,
assured Snormy, again hiding the truth. Unlike Snormy, Nug was open with his parents and neighbors, believing his time with Snormy was a breakthrough of sorts. He eagerly shared what had happened, but instead of praise, Nug heard outrage. The adults present squirmed and shuffled while expressing alarm.
You're a young fool. What you've done mustn't ever happen again, declared a Gramps.
We can't let other foolish youngsters hear about such a happening, insisted a Granny.
One of the colony big shots spoke next.
Once the crazy young plume you met tells other plumes what she did, she'll be shunned. Just like you'll be if you don't assure us you understand the horrible mistake you made.
After bowing his head to show he'd been put in his place, Nug surprised the adults and himself by taking a stand.
But a plume has liked the food we like. Maybe other plumes will like the food we like, he suggested.
Where did you get that silly notion? Letting down our guard, as you suggest, will only put us in plumes' bellies,
declared another colony leader. Nug tried a last-ditch plea.
I'm just saying it could be a beginning. Is there anyone willing to come with me to meet Snormy?
The leader, who had just spoken, was again stern.
Whoever goes to such a meeting will be banned from the colony.
Nug wasn't ready to give up.
but what if we don't need to live fidgety, fretful lives? If we can teach the plume to enjoy and store field and forest foods as we do, wouldn't Mars be safer and happier? Maybe the travelers who brought everyone here made sure both groups spoke the same language to help the Mars and Plunes get along. Why can't befriending the Plunes be what's always been possible? He posed.
A leader who had been silent laid down the law.
If the travelers wanted us to get along with Plunes, they would have told the Plunes not to make a meal of us. It's that simple. Nug's far-fetched drivel must stop,
she declared as she looked toward Nug's mother and father.
I expect your parents to bring an immediate end to their son's dangerous mischief.
Nug's mother stepped forward.
Of course we will,
she assured the leader as Nug and his parents walked away from the gathering. His mother fussed.
I'm done letting things slide. I want to see a lot more twitching, flinching, and ducking. It's time you started acting like a normal ma.
With his father between him and his mother, Nug tried to lighten the mood by mimicking ma behavior with a spastic dance. Mindful of the mother's intense concern, the father stifled a ready-to-burst laugh while head-shaking for Nug to stop. Unable to get his father to grin, something he usually could count on, Nug hung his head.
The adults are too afraid to try to make things better, he told himself.
Despite realizing they were taking a great risk, Snormy and Nug met as they planned. After enjoying another mix of veggies, berries, and nuts, during which Nug again offered an array of silly acrobatic antics, they sat on a flat ledge and relaxed.
My parents say the travelers who brought our Morn and Plume ancestors to this world taught both groups the same language, said Nug,
always finding the travelers an interesting topic.
Adult Plunes also talk about the travelers, but never about why Mars and Plunes have the same language,
said Snormy.
Maybe they fear pointing out we have something in common might weaken the Plunes' will to hunt. I like talking about the travelers.
She's interested in what I like to talk about, happily thought Nug. I told the adults that helping the Plunes enjoy and stash plant food would better the lives of Plunes and Mars, but no one believed such a thing was possible. Things didn't get any better when I said getting along with Plunes may be what the travelers wanted, he shared.
Getting to know you, Nug, has ended whatever slim chance there was that I might hunt as my flock does. If my parents heard me say that, they'd want nothing to do with me,
worried Snormy. A flustered Nug shook his head. the travelers should have given our ancestors more help, he suggested.
Maybe something caused them to move on. After all, travelers travel, right? It's an especially beautiful sky tonight,
pondered Snormy as the Sky Eye Nebula began to appear in the darkening sky.
Do Plunes believe, as Mars do, that the travelers lived on High Plateau when they were here? Asked Nug as he turned to view the Mammoth Mesa.
I heard my mother say that,
answered Snormy, also looking toward High Plateau.
I often wonder if there's a way to get to the top and see if travelers left something behind, shared Nug.
No Plune has flown even halfway up High Plateau. It's twice as high as the plateau the Plunes live on,
explained Snormy.
I bet the travelers left something behind. Maybe something that would encourage Mars and Plunes to get along, wished Nug.
Why would they leave something so important out of reach?
Asked Snormy. I guess what I'm saying doesn't make sense. But the fix you or I are in can't be what the travelers wanted, answered a perplexed Nug.
It's hard to believe the travelers, who must be smarter than Mars and Plunes, brought us here just to be predators and prey, said Snormy.
Talking with you is super, shared Nug.
Snormy bowed her head.
I hope you think of me as a friend.
I already consider you my best friend, quickly replied Nug.
I already think of you as a true friend,
assured Snormy.
We're two true best friends, said Nug with a smile.
The closeness Snormy and Nug were enjoying was, however, about to be brought to an abrupt end. Without warning, the whooshing sound of flapping wings was soon followed by the sight of a 5-foot-wide wall of feathers. In a flash, the night sky was blocked from Snormy and Nug's view. Realizing another Plune had arrived, Snormy screeched, "Run, Nug!" After scooting out of sight, Nug found a nearby boulder to dash behind, a hideout that let him view and overhear what followed. Too shaken to notice the other Plune's face, Snormy spread her wings and began short but forceful flaps in an effort to convince the intruder to seek more elsewhere. Unwilling to back off, the much larger Plune landed in front of Snormy. Then, after both tucked wings by sides, Snormy discovered, to her surprise, she was facing her father.
Your mother and I were worried about you, began her father. I've been searching for some time. I caught a glimpse of the maw that was here. What's going on?
No more lies,
thought Snormy as she gulped, then took a deep breath.
I've befriended a maw who freed me from a thorn bush.
You did what?
Shouted the father. Snormy shared more about the day's events.
After badly failing to complete a hunt, I ate with a helpful maw. We shared berries, veggies, and nuts. I enjoyed the meal so much that I came back to share another meal with him. All the while, I made a friend.
Do you understand what you're telling me?
Angrily asked the father before answering his own question.
You're telling me you no longer wish to live with your own kind.
But the wonderful thing that's happened to me can happen to other Ploon,
suggested Snormy.
That's nonsense. The elders will surely see what you're telling me as a threat to all Ploons,
bellowed the father. Snormy tried to reason with him.
If the Maws easily survive cold winters by storing food, why can't Ploons?
She asked. The father proudly cocked his head before answering.
The Maws are ground dwellers who hide in holes. Ploons are sky soarers who perch on peaks. We don't stash dry morsels in baskets. We swoop past treetops for raw hunks of meat, he declared.
But Ploons can learn a better way to get and enjoy the food they need,
persisted Snormy. Before flying off, the fuming father summed up the state of affairs.
Ploons don't pick and pile. We plunge and pierce. Only come home if you decide to honor what it means to be a Ploon.
The end of part 1.